Good Morning Wisconsin. So let's pour that coffee and talk to some experts about what's going on in Milwaukee, Madison, Washington, and beyond. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's the Political Power Hour on WTMJ. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Should we talk about the government?
Oh, happy Friday, everybody. Yes, let's get into it with our guys.
Joseph Pecky, Democratic strategist. Bill McCosh, Republican side of the aisle. Fresh back from D.C.
Fresh back from D.C.
How was the trip?
Cold. It was cold out there.
Did you see Trump?
I did not see Trump.
No?
I've never met Trump.
Seriously?
Seriously.
God, I've stood next to him already.
Yeah, never met him.
How was that possible?
I did meet Susie Wiles.
Well,
I'll talk about her.
Bill McCosh, real outsider.
I am the outsider.
It keeps you clean.
I'm the little guy. Yeah,
they can't bring you into the... All right, gentlemen, the big story, I think, for Democrats, Ben Wickler stepping down. 6 years, did he lead the Democrats for 6 years? Was it
he
that?
Did.
All right. So I'm looking at you, Joseph Pecky, because...
Why is that?
Because, well, first, I walk in the studio right away. Hey, is Joseph Pecky going to be the guy... This person
looks like a candidate. He doesn't have his hat on or anything. Well coiffed.
Just a good hair day.
Yeah.
How soon before Joe starts wearing like suits to
right?
the Friday thing? Anyway, the texter asked or says you have their vote for a state Democratic chair. Joseph Pecky, are you interested in that position?
I am. As reported in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday, I'm taking a good, long, hard look at it. I genuinely don't know if I will do it or not. And I'm happy to sort of spend some time walking through that.
Well, what's the holdup here?
This is a process that will be decided by the membership of the Democratic Party. There is no back room here. This is not 12 people in Madison sit in a room and decide. It's not even a scenario where, like, the governor as the party leader or Senator Baldwin come out and say, this is who we want, and then they get the job. I actually don't know how the Republicans do it. But for Democrats, it is a vote at the convention. And there is no.
When is the convention?
June 14th and 15th in Wisconsin Dells. If you are a party member and you are a delegate to the convention, you get a vote.
How many delegates are there?
600, 700.
How many do you know personally?
I know quite a few of them.
Oh.
And I'm talking
to. Can you still be a delegate? Can you still join?
Yes.
For the convention?
Yes.
Because with our party, you cannot.
There are slots available.
Okay.
All right.
And here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
There is no question or doubt in anyone's mind that Ben Wickler has been a really good Democratic Party chair.
Good fundraiser.
Yes. And all is not perfectly well with the Democratic Party.
You think?
And so what I think party members need to think through, and I know they are thinking through, is are they ready to make some changes or do we want to continue the status quo? And the status quo has worked in a lot of respects. I would argue it hasn't worked in all of them. First and foremost is on the communications and messaging front. Democrats have a problem because there is a huge gap between the way that the moderate to low news consumption voter perceives the Democratic Party and the reality of what Democrats care about, fight for, and want to do in the public policy realm. I think there's real improvements to be made when it comes to how we communicate as a party, who we empower to communicate as a party. And there's a lot of energy right now to do things differently. And if this is going to be a knockdown, drag out fight that splits the party, that does not bode well for everything that's at stake in 2026. And so those are the conversations and the discussions I'm having with rank and file party members from county chairs to activists, because they're the ones who are going to ultimately decide which way we go.
I love the fact that you talk about communications because you're really good at it, as is Bill, but that's the part you got knocked down already. But you talked about that disconnect or that, you know, sort of that different ideas about where this party should go. Assess Democrats in the state of Wisconsin. You're still winning races, even though there's that disconnect, so something's working.
Yes, we're winning a lot of races. I mean, the court races were on a bit of a heater.
Cool. Yeah.
Bill wants to talk about that.
Yeah.
And we've lost two of the last three presidential races here.
Right.
And so as the party coalitions have evolved a little bit, I think there is a real case to be made that we don't want to be a party that wins off years and spring elections and then, you know, winging a prayer and hopefully we find enough votes in November of presidential election years. to me, that is not how you build long-term sustainable power to make actual change. So we've got to figure all of that out.
How big is an endorsement? Like, let's say, and I'm not saying he's doing this because I don't know what Democrats do on this. If Whitaker would endorse you or someone else, does that carry a lot of weight? He's been the guy for 6 years.
I have every expectation that Ben is going to stay out of this. And I think that's probably, you know, appropriate in this case, particularly when, you know, there's not a big field today, but there is an announced candidate who is from inside the party apparatus, longtime executive director and party staffer, Devin Remiker. Devin's a friend and he's been really good at his job. And that's, you know, in the mix is, do we want to stick with somebody who's been on the inside for 10 years or so? Or do we want to bring in somebody who's been a little more on the outside?
When will you decide?
I will decide by the end of next week, maybe sooner.
Well, you could break that news on Friday next week.
Oh, would you?
I think that would be appropriate. On that point, Whitaker got in the national chairman's race late, mm-hmm. some said. I still thought he had built the coalition to win it, but it didn't turn out that way. The guy from Minnesota had ended up beating him. So, I mean, can you wait till next Friday to announce if there's already somebody in the race? I mean, how does that affect the dynamic of your ability to get elected?
There is not a lot of time for anyone.
Yeah.
This is a 9-week sprint, and the difference between 8 and 9 weeks at this point isn't a huge one.
Okay. All right, real quick, because we talk about both sides of the aisle. Shimming, is he done? Is he sticking around? What do we know there?
I think there's going to be some soul searching at the convention, which for us is in the middle of May, coming up in Wausau, about the direction of the party. And, you know, I don't think Brian takes the L for what happened on April 1st. I mean, when you lose by 10 points, it's more than one thing. There's no question about that. But I think the party structure on our side needs a lot of reform and a long way to go. But let me just do this. I'm going to give a hat tip to Ben Whitaker. I think too often in politics, people can't recognize things that have gone well on the other side. Ben Whitaker has been a very tough competitor for us and has been kicking our tail for 6 years. And I think Democrats made a massive mistake by not making him the national chairman. The best chairman we have had in Wisconsin in the last 35 years is Reince Priebus. He parlayed that into being national chairman, won the White House, won both House, you know, the Congress. Whitaker could have done the same thing.
Joseph Pecky, Bill McCoshin, if it matters, and I'm not a Democrat, but I would endorse Zepecki because he's a great leader.
Don't do it, Bill. You might kill me before we even get off the ground here.
Yeah. Keep your hands off. All right, lots more to get to with the guys on this Friday edition of Political Power Hour, 620 WTMJ. Oh, I love the text line. You can join us, 855-616-1620. It's not just Joe, Bill, and Steve.
How's the vote for Joe going on the text
line? A lot of love for Joseph Pecky. You have a lot of fans on our program, which is good. And also a lot of love for me getting a Mustang convertible from Heiser. So let's see if we can make that work. I would say yes to that for the summer. Why not? All right, gentlemen, to tariff or not to tariff, that is the question, Bill.
Well, we've come a long way in the last 7 days,
this
right?
This has been a roller coaster.
A roller coaster. And it appears that the Trump administration is going to work their way through this. They've got a temporary pause on the 75 to 90 countries who reached out and said they want to work something out. It looks like to me that this was all about China from the beginning. And it's all about reindustrializing the United States, bringing manufacturing back here. The theory over the last 30 years, really since NAFTA, was, well, we'll let others build cheaper products, and that means our consumers can buy them cheaper. Well, they're
real quick on that point. American manufacturers, they want globalization, going external to external markets and countries. That was something they did because they could save money.
They did.
And they could sell their products.
That was a conscious decision.
Absolutely.
By the policymakers at the time and by the corporations. And honestly, our working class paid the price for it. And those are the foundation of the forgotten men and women that Trump that rallied around Trump for three elections now. And that coalition has grown, not shrunk. So the reason Trump's polling numbers have actually stayed relatively constant, I'm going to say they're net negative, depends on which one you look at. It could be -2 to -7, is because that working class is like, I'm going to give this guy time to see if this works.
That's the question, really. It's time. Like,
it is time.
How patient? Because we just did a story on Connie's News there, local news. Egg prices are as high as they've been in a long time.
The other inflation was down this week for
the first time
that is good. In 2 years. And jobs report last Friday was up, and federal government employees were down. So some of the economic indicators, and I'll say the same thing I said to Joe when he used to use these, until people feel them, they don't really matter. They're nice to have, they're talking points, but until people actually feel a difference, that you can't really rely on that from a political standpoint.
All right, Joe.
Tariffs. What people are feeling, though, is instability and whiplash. That is bad for somebody who's a few years away from retirement and is watching their 401k.
Are you looking at me and Steve when you say that?
I would never tell the listeners how old you guys are.
Little gray hair in this room?
The oldies.
Yes, there's lots to shake out. The challenge is Donald Trump is making this up as he goes along. On one day, we're never backing down. The next day, he folds because the bond markets start looking bad. Instability is bad for business. And for generations, Republicans and conservatives have told us that. And what we have now is great instability. And we have every other country around the world who can no longer trust that the United States economy is the safe haven it has been since World War II. That may be a problem tomorrow and next month, but it could be a problem 5-10 years from now, too.
If China caves on tariffs, would you eat your words?
I don't believe China will, but
I think they have to.
It's a
big market share to just throw away. I know they've talked about being independent from the United States, but they sell a lot of stuff in this country.
There's no question. And there are things that have been done to revitalize industrial manufacturing. I don't think this level of instability, where whether you're a big automaker, whether you are a technology company, this is not conducive to long-term planning. Because, Bill, you know, you were Secretary of Commerce. You can't build a manufacturing plant in a day.
You can't even take an existing one that's empty and fill it in a day.
When you're afraid that the day after that, the tariffs are going to come off. And that's how the instability
Joe
cuts
and I agree
against.
On that. Predictability is the most important part of business. They have to have predictability. And I think I said this last Friday or two Fridays ago. I advised the president, I'm no economist, pick a lane and stay in it. Right? You can't go back and forth. It is sort of problematic. But I think where he's got this position really is you have to look at the next domino to fall, and that's the Congress. They are now prepared to pass a reconciliation bill. The fact that Mike Johnson, who I've not been a huge fan of, but he has been impressive in 2025, him and John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, were able to work out the structure of a reconciliation bill. I mean, they still have to get the votes, but when that happens, and I think it's going to happen based on my conversations in D.C. this week, probably the first week of May, that's going to be a boom for the U.S.
When Senator Ron Johnson is the only voice of reason among Wisconsin Republicans saying this level of instability is not good for the economy,
I think
Republicans have lost the plot.
I think that helped when Johnson is an ally of Trump, and he said he was not crazy about, you know, the back and forth on the tariffs.
Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky, Political Power Hour of a 2-hour version, which will be exciting. Second hour before I head off to Las Vegas at some point. Don't forget, I'm at the Wheel and Sprocket Expo. Bike Expo. I'm looking forward to it this afternoon. I think it's 1 to 3. I've got to pinpoint my times, but if you're out there and if you like bikes like I do, you can come out and say hi. All right, quick break. Lots more to get to. 620 WTMJ.
And oh my, my, oh hey, hey, here he comes, the candidate. Blue-eyed boy, United States.
Oh, love the music on this Friday. Hope you're enjoying the first hour of 2 hours. Bill and Joe will be around for first hour. Joe's got a campaign to run at some point. And Bill's doing whatever Bill does. After
we're going to have to play Hail to the Chief if he wins every Friday.
Question is, will he still come on? And then we'll have to give equal time to the Republican chair, whether that's Schimming or somebody else.
Yeah, let me just shut down that rumor right now. I'm not considering this because I think we need to trade Bill out and swap Bill Brian Schimming.
Well, I did get a text earlier that said, is Bill thinking about that job?
No.
No. Bill's life is too good.
That is a categorical denial.
Yeah. I love how quick and aggressive you answered that question. All right, the budget stuff's interesting. I asked you the question to break. I'm going to ask you on the show. Is this a kick the can down the road budget, or is this going to actually be a real budget that's fiscally responsible and gets us closer to some sanity when it comes to how the government spends money?
Well, fiscally responsible is sort of an oxymoron in D.C., right? It will be more fiscally responsible. It will extend the 2017 tax cuts and
that's the big one.
Include tax cuts on tips. No tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime, which all impact either seniors or working people the most. So Yeah, those things are going to get
done.
How
are they paying for that?
They've agreed on $1.5 trillion in taxes. I'm actually going to agree with you. It's questionable to me if this is actually paid for or not paid for. And I'm hoping we get to find the answer to that. But the remarkable part is that Republicans have hung together, which has not been sort of our brand for the last couple of Congresses. So if they can get this done, it's going to be rocket fuel for Trump and them.
They're not going to pay for it. They're trying to use accounting gimmicks and tricks to make it look like it costs nothing when it does. And to try to pay for part of it, they're going to slash Medicaid. 1.4 million Wisconsinites benefit from Medicaid. 30,000 businesses get Medicaid dollars. This is a recipe for economic disaster to destroy the safety net and cut taxes for the Elon Musk's.
Love this text. More Steve, yes. More Joe, yes. More Bill, less tariffs. You're not going to like this part. Less Trump. But a brilliant text nonetheless. We got a lot more to get to, including what's Trump doing with these war on law firms?
I want to grow up to be a politician.
Joseph Pecky, Bill McCashin in studio, as they often are when they're not traveling. Like Joe was just in D.C. How was the weather in D.C., by the way?
Cold.
Really?
Really cold.
But it's cherry blossoms still.
No, it's already done.
It's done already?
Yeah, I didn't see any.
God, what's the date today? 11th already? That seems early, but you know, everything's getting warmer earlier. Let's go into that whole conversation. I don't want to. All right. This lawfare thing. So Donald Trump, President of the United States, second term, has talked in the campaign phase of this, all of this, that he was mad and angry that people went after him in the period between his first term and his second term. But Bill, tell me what the difference is between what he's doing now against what he says was done against him, because it seems like the same thing.
Yeah, and I can see how it would come off that way. I think one of the meetings I had in D.C. this week was with an organization, let's call them colleges and universities. And I think a lot of folks in D.C. are coming to terms with the realignment that happened. I mean, first of all, Trump won, no question about that. Secondly, he ran on a very specific agenda. And the things he said he is now doing, and some he's already done, like closing the border. But there are folks that think, well, we can wait this guy out for 4 years. That isn't going to happen. I mean, they're very serious. We've had this conversation both on air and off air about the loyalty with his team. He had a cabinet meeting yesterday, 3 hours long, an hour of which the press was in there for the entire thing. I mean, these folks are committed to delivering on his agenda. And I think there are some look back provisions, whether those are a good idea or a bad idea. Remains to be seen. Those aren't my priorities. My priorities is rebuilding this economy, making sure that we've got the strongest economy in the world, closing the border, making sure our kids can read, things like that. But there's a little bit of look back to, you know, things maybe weren't done fairly between 21 and 24 under the previous administration. You know, I hope we get beyond that. And people understand that the realignment was real. It happened. He is going to be president for 4 years, regardless of what happens in the 26 midterms. And it's time to come to terms with that.
Joe?
A few years ago, you sold your lobbying shop to Michael Best and Friedrich, right?
Correct.
If Joe Biden had said, you know what, Bill McCashin's mean and nasty to me on the radio, and he supports causes I don't believe in, so as retribution, I am going to make it impossible for Michael Best and Friedrich to do business, to practice law, for their attorneys to enter federal courthouses, you would have been outraged, because that is un-American. And that is what Donald Trump is doing, law firm by law firm. This is not about look back. This is not about righting wrongs. This is actual weaponization of the federal government against individual law firms and against individuals. Even more disgusting then what he is doing to the law firms is the executive order this week directing the Department of Justice to investigate an employee of the Trump administration, the guy who was like the chief of staff,
Chris Krebs,
at CISA, which is in charge of cybersecurity, because Chris Krebs, after the 2020 election, had the audacity to come out and say, nobody messed with the cyber infrastructure during the election. No problems here. And that was inconvenient for Donald Trump, who wants you to this day believe that the 2020 election was stolen from him. That this is un-American, and there's no other word for
it. Will he win this battle in court? against these people.
He's had a pretty good week. He went 4-0 with the Supreme Court this week. He won a lot of big ones. There's a lot still out there, and I'm going to talk about this in my Rogers Love segment, but he's doing pretty well as it relates to the Supreme Court.
A 9-0. All nine Supreme Court justices
that was yesterday.
Said you cannot deport these people.
The guy you talked about last
without
week.
Without
one guy
giving them rights of habeas corpus. That's not a win for the Trump administration.
That was a loss.
The
yeah.
Supreme Court is saying you messed up. You deported someone who was here legally, who had a do not deport order from a judge, and they deported him to a gulag in El Salvador anyways. That's not a win for anybody. Get him back.
The biggest unknown for this administration is what the Supreme Court does with all the major things that the Trump administration has tried to do through executive orders and actions so far. What they do with that, what they rule, and how they rule against him or for him, that will be the sort of the roadmap for the next few years. Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky. Last one to get to Rogers Love after this on 620 WTMJ.
Now it's time for Love and Rogers on the Political Power Hour.
Airs it out. Complete.
What makes you wanting more?
We got to find a way to go win.
And what makes you want to tear your hair out?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Oh, little Rogers Love for you. What you love, what you hate, what you want to get rid of. Let's start with Bill McCosh. Where do you want to go first?
I'm loving the Supreme Court, that they are finally getting involved on these mid-level court decisions that are blocking the Trump agenda. Yeah, a lot of it's being done by executive order. I will say it again. I'll say it as many times as necessary. I'm not a big fan of executive orders. I'd prefer to do it through statute in the Congress because that's more permanent. But you take what you can get. And so because these lower level judges have been blocking a lot, finally the Supreme Court got involved. Trump did lose yesterday one on bringing the guy that Joe mentioned last Friday back. I get that. But he actually won four bigger ones, including the Alien Enemies Act, where he can continue to remove people from the country. So I am loving the Supreme Court. John Roberts, you got more work to do. Get to work.
I am loving that my wife's beloved Florida Gators won the national championship on Monday. I might have been a little tough on my sweetie last week.
I think we called Florida, didn't we?
Mentioned that I hadn't gotten my birthday dinner yet.
I didn't really comment on that because I thought you were a little rough. Actually.
I hope you had a nice birthday dinner with you that evening. I think that was the genesis of that.
We had three nights in a row, actually.
And here's the best thing. And anybody who's a parent of a basketball player, talk to your kids about the final 30 seconds of the national title game. It wasn't a three-point shot. It wasn't a buzzer beater that won it. It was three gritty, smart defensive plays. Off-ball help, knocking the ball out of the Houston players' hands. Attacking a screen, disrupting the offensive flow, and then jumping on a loose ball. That's winning
basketball.
Do you
want a whiteboard behind you so you can, like...
Coach Joe, he's in there, baby. Bring it on.
Unbelievable. All right, so what else?
I am Rogersing or moving on from recently reelected Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underlie saying she's going to ignore the Title IX directive from the federal government, which means she is putting hundreds of millions of dollars at risk that go to Wisconsin schools. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Do the right thing. Work with the administration. Make sure those dollars come back and then some.
Joseph Pecky.
I am moving on from, or would like to move on from, what the Trump administration is doing in terms of snatching people off the street. You say it's a win on the Alien Enemies Act. This is not over, because every single person who they try to snatch is, the Supreme Court has now said, they need to get a hearing. That is what law and order actually means. If you're accused of something in this country, whether you are a citizen or not, you are afforded the rights and privileges of the United States Constitution, which include the right to a fair trial. So I really hope the Trump administration does two things. Follow that edict from the Supreme Court and get back the people who did not get those rights and are mistakenly in these foreign prisons. You have to follow the law, and they have not to date.
I'm just going to say this. I'm going to Vegas tomorrow. By this time, I'll probably be either eating breakfast or gambling.
Elbows deep in a pile of chips.
So I want to keep...
No chips for Steve.
I want to keep my... I'm still going to stick to my plan. But I want to keep the ability for me to smoke a cigar at the pool at the Bellagio. Because that's been, like, frowned upon.
Yeah, I like
that. I don't like that. If I'm paying money to be in a nice...
swanky place, you want to smoke a stogie.
I got some nice cigars I want to bring with me, but... Where I got to go outside, like stand on the front, like I'm waiting for a taxi? What are you talking about?
I haven't been to Vegas for a while, but I did live there for a little while. There were some pools where the rules were different about everything from required clothing to other personal choices.
I don't have my clothes on.
Perhaps you need to go to one of those to get
I mean, Bellagio's not low rents. I mean, come on. I think I should be able to smoke a cigar. I'll find out and I'll report back on that. But
send us a video. We want to see it.
You want to
old man Steve basking in the sun with a stogie. Yeah.
Skinny Steve.
And you know what else I want to keep? Our ability to watch the Masters, because this is always you were telling me a story before the show that this is a fun weekend for fans of golf.
It's a great family weekend.
Yeah. It's just the best. It's just such a great watch, and you know, Tiger had his run. He's kind of gone now. He's injured again, but there's so many great young golfers, and that course is always spectacular. It's on everybody's list to go.
And they're old school. You cannot bring a cell phone on the course.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
I love that.
Yeah, so
they do check them. They check.
Although
them
one of them peed in the creek yesterday. That was a little. The 21-year-old amateur.
That
protocol.
Was not a good look. But yeah. The dumbest story of the week was all the Wall Street traders who didn't have their phones when the market was imploding, and they were watching the practice rounds.
Yeah, let's hope that market stays trending up and not down. All right, we'll wrap it up with the grab bag. Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky, Political Power Hour of 2 hours today on 620 WTMJ.
All right, since we got most of the politics out of our systems, let's finish up with some grab bags.
All right, we got a few minutes left. Who's going first on the grab bag?
Joseph I'll go first because we didn't get to Chairman. This. We didn't get to this. Bill, are we serious about voter fraud or not?
We are.
Tulsi Gabbard, director of national intelligence, in June of last year swore under oath that she was a resident of the great state of Texas. In November, where do you think she voted?
Hawaii.
She did.
So what happened?
Are we going to care about this stuff or not?
So what happens to her? Nothing?
I mean, the Department of Justice apparently is just the personal attorney of the President of the United States. So if he says you can't prosecute her, apparently they won't prosecute her.
Well, she only voted once.
How do you know she's not a resident of Hawaii?
Because she swore under oath in June that she was a resident of the state of Texas.
So the challenge may be to what she said to Congress, right? Not to the vote?
It's a tricky situation. But she only voted once. Let's be clear about that. She didn't vote two times in two different places. That's a much more serious problem.
Vote where you live.
Get it.
Yeah. Be honest about where you live.
Well, if you moved around a bit.
If you're going to make your movement about election integrity, follow the law.
All right.
If I can squeeze in two quick ones, this weekend will mark the final flights of my Janesville Jets junior hockey team in Janesville in the Janesville Ice Arena. We've been there 16 seasons. We were the first new business to locate in Janesville after General Motors closed. We went to that town specifically to give those folks some hope, something to cheer for. We wanted to develop and advance elite hockey players. We wanted to teach these kids about community service, and we wanted to provide affordable family entertainment. I think we've done that. And the number of remarkable things that have occurred in the JIA over the last 16 years is extraordinary. We're moving into the new Woodman Center next year. Come see the final flight this weekend. Should be great. And then lastly, a personal one. I finally met Susie Wiles this week, and sort of the Cat Stevens, my kid introduced me to her. My 25-year-old son introduced me to her. And when she saw him, Kale, she turned and gave him a massive hug. And, you know, that was a really proud parent moment. And then she turned to me and gave him the nicest compliment I could have ever expected. And I was, you know, you guys heard me blubber a couple weeks ago. I almost, you know, I got a little teary-eyed on that. But it was, you know, these things you can't take for granted. When you're, you know, when your son's in that kind of position and he knows people at that level of government, it's a pretty cool thing. So it was a proud parent weekend for a week for me.
Talk
in
a little bit about that, because I've been in the White House a bunch of times. That's a pretty cool thing to do for a living, and your son's working there.
Yeah, and he's the White House liaison for the Department of Transportation, so he's at the White House a couple times a week. And at the end, Susie says to him, "Kale, next time you're in the White House, come and see me." And you know, it was clear to everyone who was in that room that she knew him, and you know, was really proud. He had worked for her on the campaign and on the transition team, and he's in a good position. I left D.C. glowing that you know, my kid's got a really bright future.
All right, total nonsense, but have we seen the last of snow in Wisconsin?
I hope so.
Southeast. I actually put away my snow thrower and my shovels. Now we're in my shed.
If you jinx that, then I'm going to blame you if we
what
get
if
a
I'm
dusting.
Right, though? What if I'm right, though?
Then you get all the credit.
All my patio furniture
you did
is now out.
We did it.
Yes.
We're going to ignore it because if it comes, it's going to go quickly.
Texter asked me about how do you find out about the Janesville Jets?
Like, JanesvilleJets.com. You can find it. You can go to NorthAmericanHockeyLeague.com or NAHL.com. The Jets are in our 16th season. We're kids that are 16 to 20 years old. This is pre-college. They're trying to get college scholarships. These kids play their tail off every single night. It's a lot of fun.
Got playoffs coming?
Yeah, not this team. Not this year. Okay. We're building for the future.
I hope you guys go out with a win.
Yeah. What is it about hockey you love so much?
For Carol and I and for my business partners, this was about giving back to the kids and to the community. That sport taught me a lot of lessons, great life lessons, growing up. And I was fortunate to be on a couple state championship teams myself and to be able to give back to kids literally from all over the world. And help them achieve their dream of playing college hockey. That's pretty cool.
You know, FYI, I would make a road trip to go to a game.
Let's do that. A new arena.
If tickets were sent into my inbox, like, what is the holdup here?
I'd be down for that too. Yeah. I'm not a big hockey guy, but I'd be down
for
that.
We'll bring Kristen and we'll have a
my schedule might be
power
a little more packed pretty soon. Yeah.
Let's
see if we can make it work
Kristen
next season.
Drive. We can drink in the back seat. Right? There we go. Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky will do it again next Friday. This has been the Political Power Hour. I don't even know what I'm doing next hour, but. You want to listen. That's coming up after the news.